So many of us made big moves over the last few years, some internal moves and many external. It feels like everyone I know, including myself, has moved at least once in these times of working from home and reevaluating what life truly means and what is important for us. If it's my case, maybe you've moved four times. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know. Moving can be fantastic. It can allow for a sense of expansion, new opportunities, and the excitement of the unknown. But for us gardeners, it can be really stressful, as many of us might have moved to an entirely different garden zone, like my mom. Mama Fiala and Father Fiala, that's what we're calling him, we introduced him on Instagram a few months ago, decided to fulfill their dreams of moving south to Florida after a life in New York to enjoy their retirement. And yes, this exciting move promised year-round sunshine, palm trees, and even living on a golf course, the ultimate dream. But it also meant that my mom, an expert gardener in Zone 7, has become a novice gardener again in her new, more tropical Zone 10. It's been a tremendous transition for her, and I've marveled at her resilience and approach to this new season of life and this new climate to garden in. And I thought that her motherly advice on the practical and spiritual of changing seasons in life and moving locations as a gardener might serve many members of our community. So let's welcome Mama Fiala back with open arms to
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hello, hello, my plant friends. I hope you've had beautifully planty weeks. I certainly have. I am in Florida. I've been here for a week. By the time this episode airs, I'll probably have been there for about a month. Frankly, you might not know this. I haven't been posting on Instagram that much because I've really just been enjoying the weather and time with my family. Florida is just the greatest. All of the houseplants that I work so hard to keep alive indoors in New York are just like thriving as hedges out here. It's ridiculous. There are pothos the size of my head just climbing my mom's hedges, and their variegation is so gorgeous. I'm actually thinking of propagating some and bringing them back and pretending like it's a Thai constellation because they really look very similar. Billy and I are joking that we're part-time snowbirds because we came down for the month of November and we'll probably come down again for another month in the new year. And it's really fun. And my family lives in Florida now, with my sister as well. So it's been great to reconnect. Speaking of family and community, I wanted to welcome our newest Garden Party members. Thank you and welcome Dorothy P., Stephanie D., Brooke S., and Amanda B. They're our newest members in the Bloom and Grow Garden Party app. It is for both iOS and Android, and it's our community app off Facebook, algorithm-free, where you can make new plant friends, propagate your knowledge, and grow joy with friends. I like to call it the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet, and if you want to give it a try, we've got a free trial for you in the show notes. And speaking of the Garden Party and growing joy, I want to encourage you to give the gift of growing joy for the holidays. I hope you know by now that I wrote and released a book this year called Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness and Plants. It's a self-help book, a self-development book for how to use plants to live a happier life. And for the month of November, we're running a program that if you buy two or more books as gifts, basically, you can buy them for yourself or you can buy them for your friends. You'll fill out a form to show me that you bought them. And then I will send you free personalized book plates, which are basically stickers where I can write a personalized message, and a free month membership to the Garden Party app for whoever you're gifting. And if you're a plant shop, if you buy 10 books, I'll go ahead and give you a free year to the Garden Party app to connect with other plantrepreneurs. So the details are linked in the bio. But back to today's episode with Mama Fiala. I hope that you've listened to other episodes Mama Fiala has been on. Her first episode was episode 20, all about tomatoes. She's been on talking about her New York garden. She was an incredible edible landscaper in New York and built an incredible garden in New York. She comes from this lineage of gardeners. She's been on the show multiple times. We'll link to her different episodes in case you want to hear more from her after this episode. But today we're talking about the practical steps that she took to move to a completely different climate, the transition that she went through, her struggles that she's gone through moving here, and how she's grappling, you know, a year and change. I think they've been in Florida now for 2 years or one, at least a year and change later. My mom gives great advice. She's everyone's mom. She's the Bloom and Grow Radio community's mom, in addition to my mom. So we love having her on the podcast. And I hope that if you've moved, you are enjoying your new home and that my mom's tips help. So without further ado, here is Mama Fiala. Welcome back to Bloom and Grow, Mom.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, Maria.
It's been a while since we've had you on the show. You've been dedicated. You've received your Growing Joy dedication since we last spoke, and you've moved to Florida.
I know. Some of the biggest transitions in my life has happened this past year, and it's been a lot.
Yeah.
It's been a lot, and it's been a wonderful lot. I mean, all good things.
Yeah. Well, I thought it would be interesting to have you on the show this week to talk about the transition that you've been through as a gardener, because, you know, we've known you as Mama Faella, the Northern Italian gardener with your edible landscape, and now you're really going through a very big transition with your garden and kind of almost your identity as a gardener. And I think a lot of people have made big moves over the last couple of years, myself included, and there's a lot of struggle and change and transformation that goes alongside this, not just with our homes, but with our gardens and our plant collections.
You know, it's an interesting thing. In New York, part of my identity was being an extraordinary gardener.
Yeah, definitely.
It was creative. It was artistic. It was fruitful. It was productive.
And your therapy, definitely.
And it was therapeutic, very much therapeutic. Those 2 hours in the garden in the early morning or the 2 hours in the garden in the early evening were precious. They were precious to your mind, to my body, and to my soul. So we moved from New York to Florida. And I have, you know, we had a move in between where I had this little condo, but I had this little strip of dirt that I successfully somehow grew some sunflowers out of. And then we moved to this beautiful home I have now that's on a golf course with palm trees. It's just gorgeous. And I'm struggling. I'm struggling here. Because I thought, okay, I'll pull out my rototiller and I'll dig myself a hole the way I dug myself a hole in New York. I dug a hole of sand. I should have had a bucket and a shovel because the dirt was different. So when you're talking about moving and moving your gardener identity and self, you really have to give yourself time, grace and patience.
Yeah.
You have to be open to failure because we moved from two different climate zones. We moved from New York.
I know your garden zone in New York was like 6 or something, maybe 6A.
Yeah.
And then I don't know what the garden zone you're currently in. That's probably worth looking up.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. All I know is
you don't
is
go
green.
By that kind of stuff.
It's
yeah.
green
it's
all
lush.
Year long.
Yes.
It's green all year long.
And there's lizards everywhere.
Yeah, you know what? The lizards don't even bother me anymore. They try to mate with me. They stick their gills out at me. They don't even bother me. I'm not crazy about the iguanas or the geckos that run on their back legs.
Yeah, whatever dinosaur we saw yesterday. We saw a legitimate dinosaur running around your property.
I'm not crazy about them. But I don't like iguanas.
Yeah.
There's a weird energy about iguanas.
Yes.
I don't like them. I am very fearful of snakes, and I hear they live in Florida.
Yeah.
So I don't want to meet them here. So I'm being very careful, but I did pull out my rototiller, and I did dig a hole, and nothing grew. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about why nothing grew.
Yeah, so let's zoom out for a minute. So New York, you grew so many edibles. You grew tomatoes, lettuce, zucchinis the size of a quad. And, you know, New York is also filled with deciduous trees. We have fall, we have seasons. And now you've been transplanted into Florida, which genuinely feels like you've left the country, completely tropical climate. Like you said, we're sitting in my mom's living room. We're looking at her pool, which has palm trees. It's freaking paradise here. But, you know, the plants that you were used to growing and the seasons that you were used to living in have dissipated, and it can be really jarring.
Yeah. So in New York, we had luscious spring with flowers on every tree. Pink flowers, white flowers, cone flowers, pink and white flowers. It was just beautiful. We had summer where I had an incredible garden because I planted in the spring and I planted in May and I had an incredible garden. We have fall when the leaves cut, change color and drop and everybody pulls their mums out and you know it's fall with mums and pumpkins and mm-hmm. things. And then you have, a Disney...
Quiet,
a Disney... I call it the Disney winter, the scary forest.
In the snow globe,
The scary forest with no leaves on the trees. It's gray. Everything mm-hmm. is gray. So you're going to be gray for 3 months or 4 months. Maybe on a good day, you'll get some snow and gray will turn to white, but it's gray.
Yeah.
But you have different colors and you have a definite, clear pattern of time. Here, time is endless.
Yeah.
It's green all year long,
mm-hmm.
all year long. So I can't feel time.
So in New York, you had four seasons. Right. And in Florida, you don't. We left New York to come visit you and it was freezing. It's actually snowing in New York right now where we live. And in Florida, it's 85, sunny, bright blue skies. And so, you're really dealing with a completely different area. So how has that been for you? I would assume it's been a little disorienting because it's disorienting for me.
It's very disorienting because Florida is evergreen all year long. New York, we have our four seasons. Florida, you have one green season all year long. However, you can plant three times in Florida. You can plant September. One growing season is September to December. It's kind of cooler, like today. It's 80 degrees pretty much every day. Then there's the December to May, which is another growing season, and you can plant nice things. And then comes June to September, where you're not planting a lot of things successfully. But one of the things when you do move, I'm not sure if we've said this before, you really have to be very patient with yourself because it's extremely disorienting and it's going to take you time to figure out where you are on this earth. You can read a book and it's going to tell you there were three seasons to plant, but unless you're actually feeling it, feeling the season and feeling the sun and feeling if it rains every day between 2 and 3, you actually have to experience your climate
mm-hmm.
and experience what's crawling in the grass in the garden and experience
the change in humidity.
The change in humidity. I mean, we have a sprinkler system that goes off every morning and mm-hmm. waters our the outdoor bushes and plants and stuff. But let me tell you, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, everything is screaming, water me, water me.
Mm-hmm.
And God hears it, and he sends a cloud, and it rains on everything.
Yeah.
Because it's too hot in the summer, and nature will provide. Here, we're lucky. We have a lot of rain during the summer. 1 hour, not even an hour, maybe half an hour every day. But just when we need it most in those hottest part of the afternoon. But you have to feel it and you have to give yourself time to feel it and you have to give yourself forgiveness to fail because you're going to fail this first year.
And when you say time, I think it's important to say when you mean time, you mean years, not weeks.
No, it's not weeks.
I can speak from personal experience moving from the city to upstate New York. I was so excited my first year in upstate New York. I was going to do a whole garden. I was like going so ham. I was going to start all my seeds. I was going to do all these things. And I didn't give myself any time to notice where the best sun on the property was.
Correct.
In New York with the trees that where the leaves fall, I was tracking the sun throughout the winter time. The leaves then grew in the trees and there was shade where I thought there was sun. So thank God I grew in grow bags my first year because I could move the grow bags around.
Well, I was a real idiot. The first 2 years mm-hmm. in our house in White Plains, we moved from Scarsdale to White Plains where my front yard had full sun all afternoon. And my backyard had the most giant oak tree.
Yeah, beautiful oak tree.
It was a 200-year-old oak tree. And the trunk of the tree had to be 5 feet.
Yeah.
It was a 200-year-old tree. And of course, in March, out I was with that little rototiller and pitchfork, and we planted salad all over the backyard. Nothing grew. Because then the leaves came in, and it took me 2 years to figure out that there's shade in the backyard.
Right.
And I didn't even tune in to the fact that I had a sprinkler in the front and no sprinkler in the back. Okay, I was like so stupid. But when I got it.
Right. You put everything in the front. But I think that's important. I think that a lot of people do what you and I did.
Yeah.
They move and you're so excited to grow roots literally and figuratively in your new homes. And for you, you know, your connection to plants, obviously that first step is going to be how can I garden and do all these things in my house? But then if you make those so many mistakes up front, a lot of people probably get really discouraged and then stop. I feel like it would be better and more sustainable if people give themselves probably a full year before they're
at least a year.
Landscaping so you can see what these seasons look like. I mean, the thing with Florida that's been so eye-opening is you don't understand how hot it is here in the summer until you get here and you literally step outside and you start sweating.
You wilt.
And if you plant something in March in Florida where it's probably the coolest, that plant is likely going to fry or suffocate in the summer months. So to give yourself that time, and when we say time, we mean at least a year.
At least a year.
To observe your new surroundings and just be gentle with yourself, because I totally relate to like wanting to go all in when you move, because it's what you can control. It's how you feel like you grow your roots and you know, but there are things that we'll talk about that are ways that kind of you're in like a transitional period.
Very,
you know,
transitional.
So you can't think that you're going to start your garden. You're going to go from the way that you garden one place and then immediately start being as perfect as you were. You know, you knew in New York exactly when to do your tomatoes. You grew up with your mom and your dad, my grandma and grandpa. They had two plots of land, one for their house and one for their garden. So you grew up with that in your blood, in your bones, knowing how to garden here. You can't expect having that level of expertise in Florida now.
Oh, wait. And we had dirt in New York.
Right. And you had...
We had dirt in New York.
Compost-rich.
Yeah. Compost.
Nutrient-rich.
Leaf-laden
dirt
in New York. That you could mash in the backyard.
Right.
You could go to the dump and pick up free mulch. You could do all these great things. Florida, you pull that rototiller out, you got sand.
Yeah.
You got sand as far as you can dig. And it's dirty sand. It's not even beach sand. It's dirty sand. And you're not quite sure.
So it's not inspiring.
It's not inspiring. But what it tells you is, okay, let's go buy some dirt.
Right.
And I've never had to buy dirt before. This was something new for me, buying dirt and buying compost and buying manure and buying all these things. And buying all these things, I have to bring them home from the store. I have to schlep them to the backyard where I'm going to put them. It's all very heavy work, whereas I took for granted all those years. I had
how
dirt
simple it was.
Right outside my door.
I also think, though, there's education and time that's going to say, okay, I have sandy, my soil down here is much sandier. I should start looking at more native plants to fold in, because I think going native, looking for native perennial plants is obviously what, you know, pollinating plants is what everybody wants. But instead of trying to try and recreate the dirt that you had upstate, figuring out, okay, how can I make this the best, more sandy soil? And then what plants do I pick that are going to thrive in that?
Because, well, you got to be adaptable to your surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed everybody had orchids here. You could buy orchids for like $10 at the grocery
store.
Everywhere. They're everywhere. I noticed these orchids. They're very nice. People grow orchids on their tree trunks here. So
incredible.
I said, I'm going to do that too. So first I take the orchid, I let it bloom in the house, and then I plant it on my tree trunk. And guess what? It blooms in 3 or 4 months on the tree trunk, because orchids are basically weeds from the jungle that grow on the tree trunk.
Epiphytic. That's
so
the name.
So in order to learn about orchids, because I never did orchids in New York, I did go to the local botanical garden, the Mount, which is this great botanical garden that has these incredible classes. I went to a 2-day class, 2 Saturdays. There were 75 people in the room. Everybody was very interested in all kinds of orchids. And this was not just the kind of orchids you buy in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really a great education. And they taught us how to pot them. And they taught us, you know, what, you know, it's not just marbles in a pot that you put an orchid root in. Mm-hmm. There's food, there's orchid different time of orchid mixture. Mm-hmm. And then there's, of course, the moss that everybody wraps everything in so you don't see the ugly dirt. But orchids do require nutrients, not mm-hmm. just, but they also grow. It's the craziest thing. They grow on your trees down here. So I did learn orchids.
Okay, plant friends, Modern Sprout, one of my favorite plant accessory companies, is all about helping you experience the magic and ease of keeping plants at home. You know I love all of their investment pieces, like their grow lights and the 3-liter watering can that I can't stop talking about, and it's all over my socials. But today, we discuss one of their most giftable and affordable options, ringing up for as little as $12.99, a perfect gift for the holidays, their incredible line of grow kits, which are reusable planters that use self-watering technology to make growing plants foolproof for the most inexperienced beginner or fun and easy for the advanced plant parent. They have a grow kit for every type of home, from the classic garden jars to the desert-inspired terracotta pots to sleek tapered tumblers and a wide variety of seeds to grow, from herbs to flowers to even cacti and bonsai. They are the perfect gift for your kid's teacher, your friend, maybe someone that you want to get into growing plants, but you want to give them an easy way to start and get hooked, or they also make a tremendous hostess gift. Speaking of hostess gifts, the ones that I stockpile in my pantry are all of the different types of candles that Modern Sprout has. So they have their Glow and Grow candles, which is a scented candle that you burn down and then you plant up the corresponding seeds that come with it. It's so cute. We burn the Glow and Grow Frosted Forest scent all winter. It smells like spruce and it comes with spruce seeds to start indoors and then transplant when it warms up. I also love their rooted candles as hostess gifts because they come with really pretty packaging and the candle is super sleek. So no matter what type of interior design style your hostess has, it'll probably fit right in. So plant friends, give the gift of Modern Sprout. They're offering a very special discount for Bloom & Grow Radio listeners. Get 20% off your order with code GROWINGJOY at checkout. So go to modernsprout.com/growingjoy to see my top gift picks for the holidays. Or go to modernsprout.com, type in Growing Joy at checkout for 20% off. This offer ends December 31st. Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled? Or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today. And you do a funny mixture with your tree orchids. You have half fake blooms and then half real orchids. So your trees are blooming with orchids at all times.
I too can be
evergreen. That's a classic Sandy Fiala mama
file. I too can be evergreen.
Yes, that's a classic mama Fiala move, is to put some fake plants in the garden and then real plants. And yes, so the fake plants blend in. Okay.
You have to buy a really good quality silk orchid flower though.
Right.
And you put it right in the greens, right, the natural greens. Nobody will ever know. No one.
So, okay. Let's talk about practical. So obviously you made your move from New York to Florida. A lot of people listening probably didn't move. Maybe some have moved from New York to Florida, but maybe someone moved from Seattle to Australia. Maybe someone moved from Arizona to, you know, I don't know, Montana. So let's zoom out. If you move, what are some things that you, and you just named one, things that you can do to prepare yourself to adjust to your new garden zone and climate? Number one, I think you were so smart to find your local botanical garden.
I did.
And not only take classes, but walk around the botanical garden and see what plants are growing there, because they've picked the best plants that can grow there.
Right. And you know what? They do a very nice job here of grouping different types of plants together. So there was a sunflower. They successfully grew sunflowers there. But they had all different sunflowers, many that I knew before, because I, too, am a sunflower gardener. Mm-hmm. But they grouped it together so you could see what actually works together. They have a pond area with all the water plants. Mm-hmm. They have, I really like the botanical garden. It's not giant. You can walk through it in an hour. It's not giant like the New York Botanical Garden.
Yeah, we're spoiled, but.
But it's really quite, quite wonderful. And there's so much to learn there. So yes, find your local botanical garden once you get there to see what they are growing. If you want to buy yourself a book with the pictures, I like pictures and I like books. I know everybody now looks at their phone and think, oh, I don't like that. I like to see a full color picture of what's going to grow with the name underneath it. Because when you talk to your gardeners here, so we've had a gardener or two come by and tell us, you know, someone has to mow my lawn. So they come and they tell me what I have growing. They use all the Latin words. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what he's talking about. He's talking in Latin. Mm-hmm. Okay. I then have to go to my book and point and say, okay, now I got it. I say it out loud a few times. I say the syllables out loud a few times. I'm not as good as languages as you are. But I then have a familiarity with the plant. So get a book about local gardening if you can. I guess there are YouTube things you can watch.
Yeah, you could definitely YouTube it. But I think books are great. I think with gardens too, like, you're going to keep going back to that book. I do think that's why I like books for gardening, because you're going to go back time and time again.
And the books have to have pictures.
Yeah.
No gardening book without pictures.
Yeah.
Pictures. I want pictures.
Definitely.
And, you know, I found a great way to buy gardening books. You buy it in used bookstores and you get these old books that have the most gorgeous pictures. And those are like my library of books. So anyway, that, and then you really have to pay attention. You really have to put your focus glasses on. When you're a gardener, no matter if you're an indoor gardener or an outdoor gardener, you are focused on your plant, your dirt, your sun, your light. You're focused on it. So now you move to this new place, focus on your sun. Do you have sun or not? Are you in the shade? Really important. Really, really important. Your temperature, of course, comes with your sun. Mm-hmm. Focus on the plant, on the seed. Are you going to do seeds? If you do seeds, you got to also focus on the water. How many times a day are you going to have to water these babies to get them to grow? And focus, is that the kind of gardener you want to be? Because you're a different kind of gardener at different stages in your life. This is a very important thing to remember. There are different stages in your life, different transitions you're going to go through, and you're going to change your whole gardening way. So you're focused on your seed or your plant, you're focused on your sun and your weather, and focus on your time, too, because, you know, what took me 2 hours to do, I could plant 10 flats of impatience when I was 35 in 2 hours. I'm not planting. not too many flats are going in 2 hours.
Yeah.
I could, at 35, do 10 flats of impatience in 2 hours. Now maybe one or two flats. So, you know, your time is a really important thing, because if you don't put that proper time in that plant,
yeah,
you're going to not be that successful. And so you got to also offer yourself forgiveness for failing, and you mm-hmm. might kill a plant or two or 10. I can't seem to grow herbs in Florida to save my life.
Yeah.
But
if anyone knows how to, let us know.
Yeah.
Come help my mom.
They get too dried out. They yeah. die. I bring them home and I try to eat them as fast as I can, so I don't have mm-hmm. to make them live for 6 months and feel good.
But you're giving so much good insight. I just want to zoom back
yeah,
to make sure that we're getting them. So sun, you were talking about wanting to focus on your sun.
Yes, your
you're
light.
Focusing on the direction that the sun
yes.
and your house are facing in your
yes.
yard. You
yes.
have a backyard and a front yard. An interesting thing that we learned with Limey, your sun, it rises. Obviously the sun
east.
Rises in the east, but your backyard is full sun in the morning.
Right.
Because your backyard faces the east, and then is pretty much in complete shade in the afternoon, because the minute the sun hits
southwest.
Yeah, hits true, you know, the midday.
It's a softer sun.
Yeah, it's a much softer sun, which is good and bad depending on what you're planting. And that
Limey's much happier.
Yeah. And you only figure that out.
It takes time.
With time. Also, if you do move to a climate where leaves fall off the trees, you need to give yourself those seasons to observe the sun in the winter and then observe the sun in the summer, because the sun is going to be completely different if sun is, you know.
Right.
Some people observe the sun for a year and then decide to take out trees or put in trees and manipulate the shade
right.
in the sun
oh, right.
for them. So that's the sun. So that's how you
well,
should be
Well, I manipulated by bringing them indoors. So while I have never, ever been an indoor gardener, ever, I had children I had to take care of and focus on, not planting. Never an indoor gardener. Now I have a whole room.
Yes,
I have a conservatory of plants in the room that I sit with, I'm very happy with. I listen to them. They talk to me and tell me, water me, please.
Mm-hmm.
Please pay attention to me. But I have a whole room of pots now.
Yeah.
I've become more of a pot gardener in this new location than I was in New York.
And let's talk about the beauty pot.
I also have a water. I also have water plants that grow in water. I go into the yard and I cut these mm-hmm. these monsteras. What are they? Monsteras or leaves?
Variegated pothos and philodendron grow like weeds here, and they look like Thai constellation monsteras. So we've been trimming them. But you have variegated pothos that grow all over your back, like weeds,
like
that we just cut and basically propagate. You're basically just putting them in water and
yeah,
letting
but
their
they're really quite spectacular.
They're spectacular and they're free, which is great.
Free works.
But that's a great example of using, you know, what's around and using what works for you and then bringing it indoors. Also knowing that, you know, in 5 years, if you don't give those plants nutrients, eventually they'll die, but they look great
right.
and they're free. So who cares? You know, so, I wanted to go back to, you said pots. I think pots and grow bags are a great thing for people who have just moved, because you can move them. So talk about why. Well, you're in pots because you're scared of snakes, but talk
right.
about
I'm
why in you're
pots
in pots.
Because I'm scared of snakes and I don't want to meet one in my yard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'm going to be an outdoor gardener at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have pots. And
you
I
also
think,
have requested raised beds for right. Christmas.
I would like raised beds for Christmas. I'd like those tables that have dirt in them, that I could just water with my hose and I don't have to bend over. You know, I'm in my 60s, I'm 63 years old, and quite frankly, when you bend over for 2 hours and you get up, you don't feel as good.
Especially in the hot beating sun.
In the hot beating sun, there's days that you feel sunstroke
yeah.
after it. So I would like to be more of an upright gardener and not have that heavy bend over work. So that's what my new goal is going to be, is to do outdoor gardening on a table, high on a table, if I do the outside. I would like to try a grow table. I like the grow bags for the inside of my indoor area. I like them because they're easy to carry. Mm-hmm. I have some very pretty pots that are a beast to lift and lower.
Yeah.
They have big plants in them, and they're very pretty, but they are a beast to lift and lower. So gardeners should also not only focus on your sun and your light, your dirt and your sand, your seed, but focus on your body, because your success is going to be how successful your body stays focused on whatever you plan on doing and feels. Because if my back's hurting, I'm not going outside.
Totally.
If my knee hurts, I'm not bending down on my knee. So, you know, you age in gardening and it becomes a different thing for you. So pay attention, stay tuned to yourself first, and then see what you can give to the earth and your pots and your plants.
Before we dive into this discussion of seasons of life, which I think is very poetic and beautiful, I just wanted to ask, who else have you been asking advice from?
I talked to my gardener, who speaks Latin at me. And then as I walk around, I'm always, you know, I have my little, let's see what they're growing in their garden. And when the people walk outside, I walk right up to them and introduce myself as a gardener who just moved here. And I'm wondering what works and what doesn't work. And people are so happy to connect with another gardener. They're like, oh, I got fruit trees in the back. You want to see them? So this one woman on my block, she says, yes, I have fruit trees. And I said, you have fruit trees here? She goes, yeah. I said, well, I have limey. I have a couple of citrus trees. She goes, oh, I have limes, lemons, avocados, bananas, papayas, guavas. I said, where? And she takes me to the back of her house. You're not allowed to grow fruit in the front of your house here in Florida because the fruit falls and all the animals comes to eat them. But you can in the back. And as we walk into the back of her house, there's a herd of ibises, which are these white birds that are about a foot tall with these really long beaks. And she has three sandhill cranes that are like protecting the garden.
The fruit, yeah.
And they're alive. Sandhill cranes are about 4 feet, 5 feet tall. And they're beautiful birds. I thought they were ostriches when I first moved to Florida. And they're not scared of people. And they protect her garden there because I'm sure they're eating out of it.
Yeah.
And she had banana trees with like 50 bananas on a sleeve. She had papayas. It was so exciting. And she said that she's going to bring me a basket of fruit when it comes.
You made a plant friend.
I made a plant friend down there.
But
right next door to her, so she's Colombian, and right next door to her is an Asian woman that has all kinds of bamboos growing
Amazing.
All over the place. So she has her flavor of planting there too. And she propagates in a ton of little pots, which looks a little bit junky to me, but it's okay. A ton of little pots all over the place. And she's got so much going on there. It's hard to focus on what she's got going on, but I think nature's taking care of her.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are my two friends. So you have to walk around. You got to look. You got to talk to the experts, i.e. your gardener.
Mm-hmm.
Talk in garden centers to your local, you know, you can go to a garden center and talk to the people there.
Ideally, like a local garden center instead of a big box store.
Right.
In my town, too, it's been tremendously helpful going to our local garden center and asking the women who work there because they're so knowledgeable. If they're working in a garden center, they're gardeners.
Well, I also like looking for the little Italians.
Always.
When I go to a garden center, big or small, I look around to see who's shopping because there are gardeners there that are shopping that have a wealth of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the people work in the cash registers in the store, they don't know as much as the guys that
who
are
actually buying the plants
to shop.
Yeah.
And I look for like the mom and pop ones because they have the experience of what's going to grow and what's not going to grow.
I have had
some of the best lessons in growing things from the little old lady or the little old man that I met at the garden center. I'm probably the little old lady you guys will meet at the Garden Center.
So and look how much we're learning from you.
If you ever see me at the Garden Center, please stop. I'd be sure to tell you a thing or two.
Yeah.
But I always look for the little old lady, little old man at the Garden Center.
Thank you to Espoma Organics. Espoma Organics is a family-owned and operated company dedicated to making safe indoor and outdoor gardening products for people, pets, and the planet. Plant friends, this episode is all about change and transition, and no matter what you're growing, no matter where you're growing it, Espoma probably has the right products for you. When my mom lived in New York, she used their garden soil, she used their biotone fertilizer, her tomato tone for her tomato plants. Now that she's moved south, I picked her up some of their Espoma cactus mix for her palms, her citrus, and her cacti that she's going to experiment growing down here. She mentions that she's going to transition from in-ground gardening to raised bed gardening when she's in Florida. So we're also going to hook her up with some raised bed gardening mix for those raised beds when we get them installed. And because she's into palm trees and citrus down here, I'm going to be giving her some palm tone and citrus tone fertilizers by Espoma made specifically for tropical plants. So she'll be set up for success as she explores growing these plants for the first time. But no matter where you live, they've got a garden soil, a potting mix, and a tone or plant food for you. To learn more about their organic indoor and outdoor products for plants, people, and the planet, visit Espoma.com to see where your local Espoma dealers are, or you can click the link in the show notes to go to the Bloom and Grow Espoma Amazon storefront to see my favorite picks online. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. And also, my first couple of visits, I noticed that you were definitely like hawk-eyeing all of your other neighbors, what they're growing, what works, how they're doing it. You know, look at this tree, look at that tree, look at those impatiens, blah, blah, blah. You know, it takes time to observe.
It really takes
time to make plant friends. I mean, that was my whole experience with Melody, too. I moved to the country. I didn't know anything about gardening. And I like went on this website and asked if anybody would help me. And she did, but she became one of my closest friends that year, you know? So
no.
You never know. Like, I do feel like looking for, you know, asking the gardeners, the landscapers, making plant friends, using the local garden centers. There's so much free education you can get from people who know what they're doing to help expedite your journey in figuring this out, because you're really in a different world down here.
Right.
And you've got to like ebb and flow. So with that,
and the other thing I do want to say, have fun with it. Experiment. So
talk about your zinnias. Yeah.
So I'm in the dollar store. Okay. I'm in the dollar store. I'm buying candles to go to church and light my candle. But I walk by this bag for a dollar of zinnias in sawdust. I think that's what it was. Zinnias right. in sawdust. It was a dollar. I said, oh, let me see. Let me buy a couple of bags of zinnias. So I bought two bags of zinnias in sawdust. And I threw it in my front, off my front steps, one bag and one right. bag. And I threw that sandy soil on top of it thinking, it's a dollar.
Right.
I must have gotten 25 to 50 zinnias from each bag of zinnias in sawdust.
Best dollar you ever spent.
It's the best dollar I ever spent. And I smile every time I walk out on my front steps thinking, right. look, this is the dollar store
zinnia. I can't believe it worked.
Right. I can't believe it worked. Because, you know, you buy those like wildflower things. You wonder if they work. This worked. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. It worked great. And then, so I also bought, in New York, I had some spectacular morning glories growing on mm-hmm. my next door neighbor's hedge.
Oh, they were amazing.
I planted them underneath the hedge that separated our houses. She had such a boring garden. I had a beautiful garden, and I planted these morning glories, hundreds yeah. of flowers.
It was gorgeous.
On the hedge. It was really quite gorgeous. People would stop. So I see the morning glories here, and I'm thinking, oh my God, it's so hot. But I got a thing called a moonflower.
Okay.
Which was white. And once I did, I do like doing white gardens for nighttime mm-hmm. viewing, because mm-hmm. if you have all white flowers in your garden at night, it looks like you have lights on. Mm-hmm. So if you do all white in patience, where you do, well, morning glories aren't bloomed at night, but the moonflower is open mm-hmm. at night. And so I planted, you know, a pack, a $1.69 pack of moonflowers around one of my palm trees, and the vines grew all over it. I had an abundance of moonflowers. So that was just like a packet of seeds, but it gave me great joy. So, you know, give yourself a little bit of joy.
And flexibility.
And, you know, if it doesn't bloom, it's $1.69.
Yeah, like in your first couple of years, the stakes don't need to be high.
Right.
Like you can buy yourself the seed packs. You know, seeds right. are good because they're more affordable too to
yeah,
try
than
and
a
experiment
plant,
with.
Killing a plant.
But also, like, just trust that this is your transitional experimentation, you know, time, and trust that stuff will work and stuff won't work, and it's all good. You're learning.
Yeah.
You're like a baby again, like learning to walk again,
right.
really, if you think about it.
I am.
Here. So let's talk about, speaking of babies, and, you know, you mentioned your age. You've kind of talked about how you're in a different season of life now.
I am.
So you're a gardener in a different season. And my favorite thing is to talk about the different seasons of our lives, you know, in addition to the seasons that we garden in. So what does this current season look like for you?
Well, you know, I'm very lucky. I'm 63 years old. I'm very lucky. I'm in good health. My limbs don't hurt. My back doesn't hurt. I'm active. So I can use a shovel. I can use a pitchfork. I can use all these things. But I get tired
yeah.
quicker.
And you got things going on.
And
you're playing golf. You're in the junior league. Like, you got a
pretty
packed social schedule.
No, I play bocce. I play golf. Yeah. I do junior league.
Oh yeah, mom's the president of the bocce team.
I'm not president. I was the
captain. La capitan.
Yeah. So anyway, but you know, gardening is an important part of my life, so I do like to do it. So in New York, when I garden, I also am an operating room nurse, and I don't like disease or bugs or anything. So when I went out to the garden, I was dressed as if I was going into battle or surgery.
Yeah.
I had long pants. I had socks covering the cuffs. I had sneakers from pants. I had long sleeve shirt. I had double gloves. I had a pair of nylon gloves underneath, a pair of rubber gloves on top. And I had a big sun hat and suntan lotion on my face. I was prepared for battle with, you know, working and not getting contaminated or cut or have any animal bite me. Because this is what happens when you're in the garden. And, you know, my kids think I'm a little bit much because when they would help me, I would make them dress like me.
Mm-hmm. You would love these new gardening gloves I got. They go all the way up to your shoulders.
But now, when I dress like that in Florida, I sweat 5 pounds off.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you have to think about how much you're sweating, too, because I felt like I had heat stroke one day. I was out for an hour. I came in, and I had to actually submerge in water to get my body temperature back to a normal space because all those clothes and the heat didn't work. So
maybe we need to get you some more technical, lighter weight, breathable long sleeves, too.
No, I just don't want anything to bite me.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I have to pay attention to things like that. So if I sweat, I'm going to get more tired. If I'm more tired, I'm not going to get the whole job done. If I don't get the whole job done, I'm going to be upset.
Right. You're going to have a half
because I'm thinking
garden, right?
Like I could do things like I was 35. I'm not 35 anymore. I am older and I have to pace myself.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have a gardening project, it might take me 2 days to get it done because you have to start early in the morning here because it gets too hot.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in more temperate climate, maybe you can work more during the day, not here, early in the morning or it gets too hot. So I have to pace my timing differently too. So I don't want to find myself bending down on my knees. I don't want to be crouched on my knees because that will bother me in another day. And I want to be able to move around. So it's got to stay joyful the next day. It can't be painful the next day.
Yeah.
So you got to pay attention. You got to pay attention to your body. Some people might have blood pressure issues. When they bend over, they get up, they get dizzy. The last thing you want to be in your garden is dizzy by yourself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Especially if you've got thorny roses around that you could fall into.
Right.
Yeah.
If you are on, you know, you got to think about if you're on, I'm not, baby aspirin right now. I'm not on baby aspirin. But if you're on baby aspirin, you might bleed profusely from a thorn.
Mm-hmm.
If you get stuck with a thorn, you might bleed profusely. So think about that. Make sure you cover yourself from any kind of scratches that you might get from gardening because you will get scratched.
Oh, for sure. But it sounds like you're figuring out a new way to make your gardening habit continue to work for you.
Correct.
Instead of you working it for it or it working against you.
It's much more controllable to have pots in the house. I water once a week or if they're screaming at me.
Yeah.
Because it was, you know, you could tell when your plants need water.
And it's smaller, yeah.
It's smaller, but I order pretty much I know that once or twice a week I have to water.
Yeah. And frankly, I bet the shade, if we wanted to do herbs, if we get you some raised bed planters, I bet the shade of your house is actually bright enough for herbs even to thrive in because the herbs are going to be too, it's going to be too much sun. It's the sun here is so crazy powerful.
Well, you know, it's interesting because here's a point about the time when I first got this brainstorm that I'm going to get these tables and I'm going to grow herbs. I was going to put it on the southern side of the house.
Yeah.
Instead, I'm going to put it on the northern side of the house, shade all day long. And I have a hose there.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody sees me do what I'm doing.
Right.
So I have privacy. I have a hose. I have quiet. And I will be successful there.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be on the southern side of the house where the light is. But it takes you time to figure these things out.
Totally.
And you're not going to read this in a book, and you're not going to get this from a gardener. You have to live in your space and figure it out.
Yeah. Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was great. Well, what are your, as we wrap up, what are your goals for your next year in your garden?
I'm going to have a sunflower garden this season.
Oh, yeah? That's the goal? Okay.
I'm going to have a sunflower garden and...
In raised beds? Or you're going to do it?
No.
Where are you going to do
I'm
it?
I'm going to do it out there.
Okay.
I'm going to do it again. I failed last year. Last year, I put 200 seeds down. I brought the soil. I brought the compost. I put it down. And the animals ate it. But that was a different part of the year. So I'm going to try it now and see if I can grow some sunflowers over there.
I bet the ladies of the botanical garden probably have great suggestions for you, too.
Yeah, I'm going to try because I want to put sunflowers on the golf course.
Yeah, that would be beautiful.
So everybody sees my sunflowers.
That would be amazing.
That's one thing. I'm going to grow some vines on these boring hedges that I have, just like I had but I'm going to grow a lot of them now.
And blooming vines. Because I think you also really like flowers.
I like flowers.
You've always grown a lot of flowers. And I think Florida is more foliage-based than flowers here.
Shades of
green. So we've got to figure out the right flowers for you to grow.
Florida is shades of green.
Yeah.
And
where you really had a blooming garden filled with flowers.
I had hydrangeas. Yeah. I had a rose garden. Yeah. I had hydrangeas. I had
200 sunflowers. Yeah.
I had a lavender garden. I had butterfly bushes. Mm-hmm. I had all these wonderful things that gave you color.
Yeah.
I had all
these
African
daisies.
Mm-hmm. So, got to figure that out. So, I'll try again. I'm going to try the sunflowers again. What does that cost me? Four or five packs of seeds. I have a bird. I'm going to collect all his sunflowers he doesn't like. I'm
going to
throw them out there too. Why not?
Why not?
And then I think I'm going to put a smell like bleach on top of it.
Or peppermint.
No, I think something nasty.
Really bad. Okay. We can probably figure that out too. There are some sprays that you can get.
Yeah. On top of it. Because I'm not eating the sunflowers.
But that's also something probably the gardener would be able to suggest. Or your friend down the road.
Yeah.
Because she deals with pests if she's growing fruits. So maybe that's a good thing to ask for too. And that's where the plant friends come in. So I'm happy to hear you're making plant friends.
Yes.
And I might you live in paradise. I'm happy to be visiting you. It's totally worth it. Your move, even though you lost your old garden, is totally worth living in paradise, golfing to your heart's content.
You know, my New York season was a great season.
It was a great season.
And, you know, there are many seasons in life. And, you know, just be open to them. Take them as they come because they're all going to be great if you have a great attitude about them.
Totally.
So this is going to be a great season once I figure it out. But it's going to take me a little time.
And you'll keep us posted.
I'll keep you posted.
On Instagram. And we'll have you back in a couple of months for an update.
On Instagram. Okay.
Or on the podcast. Yeah.
All right. Let's
okay,
do
cool.
it. Okay.
All right.
Keep blooming and growing, everyone.
Thanks again to Mama Fiella for joining me. It was so fun to sit with her on the couch in her living room. We had a view of her beautiful pool and palm trees. I feel very fortunate to have this conversation of her transition kind of memorialized forever. We've all been through transitions, you know, even just listening to her talk. I moved from, you know, the city to the country. That was a huge transition for me. And I definitely realized that, you know, starting out, I kind of went way too hard in the paint in my first year. And I really could have benefited from taking a deep breath and relaxing instead of going so hard with the garden journey. But, you know, we get that gardener's itch. And it just feels so fortunate that I now, with my parents living down here, I get to enjoy the benefit of two different areas. I get to, you know, winter in the Catskills and enjoy, you know, the edible garden that we have in New York that garden zone allows for. And then it's fun that I get to come down here. And it really, coming to Florida, if you live in New York, it feels like you're truly leaving the country. It's completely different vegetation, completely different weather. You know, it's warm at night. If you live in the South, you don't understand this, but even in the dead of summer in New York, especially in the mountains where I live, like it's cold. It's in the 60s at night. And it's so bizarre walking around Florida at 9 p.m. and having it be balmy and 80. It's so unusual for us. But yes, Billy and I are enjoying being part-time snowbirds, and I'm really enjoying just walking around seeing all of the philodendron and monstera and palms and dracaena just out in people's front yards, thriving, blooming, snake plants blooming everywhere where we work so hard in upstate New York to keep them alive. Anyway, wherever you live, whatever season of life you are in, I hope you find some joy from your plants this week. I hope you spend some concentrated, screen-free time with your plants this week. And I hope you allow whatever is supposed to unfurl for you in whatever season of life you're in. Wherever you are around the world, plant friends, it's wild to think that this podcast gets listened to, like, I think in over 80 countries, which is totally weird if I sit and think about it. But yeah, we're all going through transitions together as a community, and I'm honored to be a part of your journey. And as we approach the holiday seasons, I certainly hope that your plants help you de-stress in the stress that the holidays can bring. And also, speaking of the holidays, support Bloom and Grow sponsors if you can. They're who help keep the lights on over here so I can keep making this awesome content for you. And with that, my sweet plant friends, until next time, keep blooming and keep growing joy.
Plant friend, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure that you're subscribed to the show on your preferred podcast player so you never miss an episode. And while you're there subscribing, if you wouldn't mind clicking over to the review section and leaving us a review, that would be tremendous. Reviews are so helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thank you so much in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Bloom and Grow content, we have so many fun options for you that I want to tell you about. First off, there is the free Bloom and Grow Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free, it's super fun, and it only takes 3 minutes to complete. You take the test and you get your plant parent personality profile, and with that, you get a list of your strengths and weaknesses as a plant parent, and most importantly, my curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are perfectly suited for you and your planty interests based on your results. The test lives at bloomandgrowradio.com/personality and can always be found in the show notes of this episode. Okay, plant friends, here's the really good stuff. If you are looking to really grow and up-level your plant parent skills this year, I cordially and proudly invite you to join the Bloom and Grow Virtual Garden Society, rooted in high-quality education and plant community. Plant friends, this is not your grandma's garden society. It's virtual and therefore connects you with plant friends around the world, accessed via our proprietary garden party platform and app, and has the best educational and community-based content and resources available to anyone. When you join, you get immediate access to the entire Bloom and Grow Garden Party platform and app, which is our exclusive space, off social media, algorithm-free, troll-free, with tons of amazing ways to meet other plant parents like you, like regional groups, daily conversation prompts, and even a plant swap space, which is pretty cool. And in addition to that, you get all of the exclusive premium society content, which is 3 monthly live calls with myself and our horticulturist in residence and beloved Bloom and Grow Radio guest, Leslie Halleck. All in the interest of helping you grow. Leslie hosts monthly Node of Knowledge plant science lectures and monthly office hours, which we call AHAs or Ask Our Horticulturist Anythings, where you can troubleshoot your personal plant collection problems with her. Think about that. You have access to a horticulturist to troubleshoot your personal plant care issues. So amazing. And then I host monthly Growing Joy calls for community development and to explore the plant care, self-care aspect of plant parenthood. Plus, when you join, you not only get access to the upcoming live calls, but you get full access to all of the replays of previous calls and lectures, like The Science of Plant Dormancy or Grow Lights 101 and beyond. So you can binge your way to your best year yet of plant parenthood. Please come join us. We're having so much fun. Learn more by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting jointhegardensociety.com. For anything else, plant friend, I'm here for you. Feel free to drop me a line when you have an idea for an episode, an event, or even if you're a planty business interested in sponsoring the show. And of course, follow me on Instagram and TikTok for daily planty silliness, musings, and behind-the-scenes podcast content. Thank you again for listening to Bloom and Grow Radio. It is my true honor and delight to always help you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, plant friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will will pop up. So you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.